I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Time for our testimonies. The Bible says that they overcame him by the blood and by the word of their testimony. So we have a series of testimonies today. So I encourage all of you not to just, you know, look at it as stories, but also believe that as they share their testimony, believe in what they're sharing as well, because it also can happen to you. Amen. Amen. And also as we're sharing our testimonies, we're going to show you some exciting, powerful videos from our prophet, and so that those of you who are not, you know, very familiar with, you know, who Bishop Dagg is, I believe that at the end of this service, you will have an idea or an understanding of who he is, amen, and what, you know, our whole church is about, amen. So let us put our hands together and let us welcome our dear sister Ine to share a very powerful testimony with us.
This is just a testimony about how our prophet, our lovely father, Bishop Dagg Hughes Mills, has been a blessing unto my life. It started back in 2014 when I actually attended the Mission America camp. And he was talking about going on missions and so many different things. And, well, not so many different things, but that was the main thing. And just hearing him and seeing him and believing the words that he was saying, that we should go and plant churches everywhere, in every corner, in every place where someone is. And by God's grace, that's why I'm here today in Los Angeles with Apostle Joel. And with that, like, I never stopped listening to him. Just because he's in Ghana and I'm here doesn't mean that, you know, I let it be a disconnect, that let distance be a disconnect. So, you know, I do my best to follow him as closely as possible, and by also reading the books and listening to the messages and literally receiving every word that he says and also believing it within my heart. And because of the prophecies that he's spoken over my life, I can literally see a difference. You know, I can literally see a change, how from I went from someone that had backslidden, you know, wasn't going to church, even though I was raised as a Christian, and, you know, smoking, drinking, all these things, you know, partying, all the things that LP Ida talks about in her songs, like, that was me, you know. But by the grace of God and by soaking in messages and believing in the word of God, you know, I received the prophecies, and by God's grace, I can say that literally everything that I've received has come to pass. You know, my mind has changed, one. My heart has changed, two. And because I've listened to his messages, I also listened to his word about changing my mind about receiving brothers. So even by that, you know, I got a husband. So, you know, and that's been a blessing. And I'm still listening to learn how to continue to be a virtuous woman and a great wife to my husband. You know, just because I'm married, I don't stop listening. I don't stop receiving what he's saying, you know. And I just love his ministry. I love him. I receive him as a father. And it's just been a great blessing. And, you know, just as he was like, you shall be clothed, I receive new clothes. Just as his, receive furniture for your house, you know, I received that as well. So it's just been a great blessing and a great testament to my life. So I just want to thank God for his life. And go, prophet, we love you.
Amen. 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 What a powerful testimony. I was waiting for the part that she would say, I found my husband in this church, which is very, very true. So those of you who are here, you know, some of them, Augustus, you know, so believe in it as you're in. I'm not saying you should come to church because you want a husband, I beg you. But I'm saying that, you know, as she's giving this testimony, also believe that if that's what you're also praying to God for, believe that it shall also happen to you. Amen. Amen. Up next, let us invite our dear sister Amabel to give us her testimony.
My testimony is about three major parts about the prophet's ministries. First, the first one is that I'm a product of the Healing Jesus Crusade. He came to have a crusade in my school. I went just to have fun. I didn't go because I was going to listen to the word. I didn't even like Bishop Dag at all from the beginning because of how I grew up and the people around me. But I went and he preached about Lazarus and the rich man. And it touched my heart and it kept replaying, resounding. And it awoke a desire in me to have a relationship with God. I mean, I wasn't one of those people that just one day stopped all they were doing. I went back to my old life. I backslid. I went back to the world. But then the message just kept replaying in my head. And eventually, I mean, just to cut this testimony short, eventually, after a long time, I found a church. I mean, I gave my life to God in a different church that wasn't Lighthouse. But when I moved back to Accra, there wasn't a Lighthouse there. There wasn't that church that I joined in Accra. Then I was driving in my neighborhood one day and I saw a Lighthouse church and decided, you know, let me just give this a try. And it worked out. And then also when I went back home, I mean, my parents were also against the church. They weren't letting me go freely. So I always like had to lie to go to church. I'll see that I'm going to hang out with my friends and then I'll go to church. And one of the things that kept me going was he has, in Ghana, Bishop Dag has a radio station called Sweet Melodies. And I always played it in my room and there were always messages, songs, and I really always think that is one of the things that kept me going. If I didn't have that radio station, I probably would have backslid again because the people around me weren't even helping me to stay in touch with God. So the three ministries that I'm really grateful for is first of all the Healing Jesus that he didn't give up on, especially students. So I've actually thought about us and come to us because we have nothing to offer him. So obviously he was just out there for our salvation. Secondly, because he has churches all over and he's trying to actually build more churches all over in different places. So the fact that I actually was just driving in my neighborhood one day and I just saw a Lighthouse church is actually a good thing because it gave me somewhere to go to and then to continue to make me grow up. And then he has like a radio station that is always like feeding your soul. And it's just good. And then the other thing is that I kind of like consequently gave my life to Christ. It didn't happen one day, like I said. So he's always teaching us how to do this, how to do that. And it's a good thing. And he also tells us to keep listening to the messages, which I think is a good thing because if one message was enough, then there wouldn't even be the need for any of us to be here because we might have had like enough messages for our lives. But you need to keep hearing it every day and don't give up. One day it's just going to change you. So I'm a product of all of these ministries and I thank him so much.
Amen. 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 What a powerful testimony. One of the things that she said that I really like was that she said, I am a product of the Healing Jesus Crusade. So all your giving that you've been given, your $10, your $5 a month, your Ben and P, your HJC contributions, they're the reason. That's the fruit of one of those crusades that he did. And I believe that as you continue to give, you'll be able to go into more places. And through that, she also brought her husband to the church. Let me just add that. He's turning around like he doesn't know what we're talking about. So I encourage you to also keep giving to the Ben and P and to the Healing Jesus Crusade. Amen. One of the things that LP Ida said is that today I have a family because of you. Some of us, we're not from California, you know, like how many of you are not from California? Wow, that's everybody here. Wow. But you don't feel lonely. You don't feel like, you know, you don't have anybody here because of the church, because he sent Apostle Joe and Lady Pastor Sarah here to build this church. We're all connected and we're all family. So, you know, those of you who were thinking of something, a reason why you should give an offering, today I've given you a reason why. Because of the church, you have a family here and you don't feel alone. Amen. We still have some more testimonies. Let us welcome our dear sister DJ to share her testimony.
This is just a freestyle, man. Money beats.
Hello. There's so many things I could be thankful to Bishop Dag for besides, you know, the miracle money and the blessings and the prophecies, but one side thing that I really love Bishop for is my personal, like, attitudes that I've had for years. You know, like, he constantly talks about the nature of women and girls and wives. And I really appreciate all the things that he says because when I first was listening to the messages, I was like, oh, my gosh, like, what is wrong? Does he not like women or something? I was like, why does he keep saying this stuff? But then when I really thought of it, I'm like, but he's right, though. He's so right. And he, like, I can't even deny it because I'm everything he says, I'm that person. Like, you should, I mean, I can't even describe to you the level of laziness. Like, no brushing my teeth, no bathing sometimes. Like, I can't, every summer, as soon as I come home from summer, I just sit on the couch, just lounge around, watch TV for hours on end. And my dad would be telling me stuff like, you need to wash the dishes. I'd be, okay, I'll do it. And I won't do it till like 3 days later. He'll get mad. I'm just like, you know? But then, like, he was like, you need to take a bath. I'm like, well, I'm clean. I didn't go outside, so I don't need to take a bath, so I took a bath 2 days ago. You know, that kind of stuff. I tell you, it's so gross. And my mom would be like, you're a lady. You can't be doing this. You represent me. And I'd just be like, You know? And I tell you, like, even if you don't think it's you, just realize it was somebody. I was that person. So if you hear it and you got this little attitude going on, just think about it. Like, there's somebody out there who it's for. So don't bring your radical feminism to this church. I tell you, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work.
Amen. Put your hands together for DJ. Amen. Amen. Some of you are acting like, oh my God. But you know yourself that you don't shower too. So please, you don't shower. Please, if we call your parents right now, they'll tell us that you haven't showered for 2 days. So just... as Bishop says, if it's for you, just look forward and smile if it's for you. Amen. But that's a very powerful testimony. Bishop continues to help us in our personal lives. You know, it's not just the spiritual aspect, but also the physical aspect. You know, just a quick something. Like last week, we had revival here at 7, for those of you who missed it. But Bishop was preaching on the mystery of a woman. And he talked about how a woman must, you know, learn to make banana fritters, cakes, honey buns, rock buns, you know. And we were sitting here laughing. But then I realized that some people, Amabel, have taken the message practically. And she was making cakes at home. And I said, hey, like, she made cakes at home. You know, so Bishop is improving marriages as well. So don't let us just sit here and listen and say, this one is not for me. It's for you. Amen. Amen. Our next testimony is from our brother Robert. Let us put our hands together and welcome him.
Yeah, boy. Let's go. Testimonies. Testimonies. Testimonies.
Amen. I'd like to thank Bishop Dark Edward Mills a lot for, most likely for the podcast. It's actually improved my life very, very much. I remember when I joined the church first, and we're having our center meeting at USC. So after the meeting, Ine was like, oh, do you have the podcast? I said, oh, once in a while. I mean, I go on YouTube and watch it. And she immediately took my phone. What's the passcode? And she was installing, and in my mind, I was like, hey, lady, you need to calm down. You don't know how much space I have. we are still dealing with 16 gig iPhones, and she was already installing the thing. She said, you need to listen to it daily, day and night. But, I started listening to it religiously. And he actually delves so much into the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Wisdom. And, I mean, recently it's about faith and things of that sort. And it's actually giving me a deeper understanding. I mean, I grew up in a church home, so you know a lot of doctrine. I mean, the Holy Spirit is there, blah, blah, blah. But you don't go, it's not that practical. But he actually gives you a deeper knowledge and understanding on practically how the Holy Spirit helps and improves your life. And I believe that the podcast, it really helps. I mean, John 1 verse 5, I think it says... Come on. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness that does not comprehend it. You see, when... Yeah. You'll be blessed. So the more you listen to that, I realize that the more I listen to the podcast, the more like things are important into me. Previously, I used to feel sometimes frustrated with the little simplest of things, sometimes get depressed and all that kind of things. But the more you listen to the podcast, I mean, it's driving away all those kinds of things. Last week, we even heard about hindering spirits and all that kind of things. So I'll entreat everyone. I mean, I'm sure everyone even listens to it more than me. I'll entreat everyone to actually develop a habit of listening to it. I mean, I think in the recent weeks and days, I've taken it to a different level. I mean, even if I'm working 5 minutes to maybe buy food or something, I have these headphones, I just put it in and listen. And I honestly believe it's changing my life, and it's going to change yours as well. Unfortunately, I have a very bad reading habit, so I've not been doing well in that department, but I know I'll change one of these days. Amen.
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 Amen. Brother Robert has literally become a podcast addict. Amen. So how many of you don't know what podcast is? Okay, we do. How many of you don't have the podcast? Y'all looking at me. Because I said if it's for you, look straight. So if you're looking straight, it means you don't have it. Amen. I encourage all of you to subscribe to Bishop Dag's podcast. If you have no idea what we are talking about, please see Reverend Munene in the back after service. And see Brother Robert too himself. Amen. And I believe that through the preachings and through the camps and everything, Bishop has taught us, like DJ was saying, how to be a woman practically. Amen. Amen. So we still have some more testimonies. Let us welcome our dear sister Hazel to give us
a testimony. I needed a house and you gave it to me. I needed a car and you gave it to me. Anything I want you to give out to me. So everything I am, I give it to you.
So I just want to thank God for the prophet and this church and all that he's doing through what I'm learning through the church. So I actually started Lighthouse in 2000 when I first came to the U.S. Wow. Yeah, so, and I was so blessed. Even at that young age, God was doing so many things in my life through the church. So I was really blessed. And then I went to another church later on in life. So in end of 2015, I just hit rock bottom. I felt my life was just gonna end at that time. So I knew it was an attack from the enemy. So I needed a Bible-based church that can help me through it. So I knew that's what I needed. I didn't need to talk to my mom, my dad. I think I needed the word of God to take me through this time. So in I think it was the first Sunday of the church, I decided I'm going to go to a different church. Lo and behold, I was Googling churches in LA, and I saw Lighthouse. And I was like, wow, I can't believe Lighthouse came back. So I had two churches in mind. I had Lighthouse and Hillsong. So I was on the phone with my friend, and we were doing the pros and cons of those two churches. So I decided to try Lighthouse first and see. So I came the first Sunday, and I was so blessed. And the message at that time was, it was the year of loving God. Not my problems, not what I'm going through, but to pull God first and to just be in the house of the Lord. So after I went home, I was like, hey, am I going to be able to go to Hillsong? Let's see for Sunday. So then the following Sunday, lo and behold, I was like, okay, I'm going to Lighthouse. So I came, and I was so blessed. And during that time, during that year of fasting, I was so blessed through the fasting, through the word of the prophet. It was such a blessing into my life. And even my family was like, wow, what happened to you? And they were actually amazed about, like, what God had, because they were very afraid for me, too. So they were very happy for the change that God did in my life. And one thing about the prophet's message is how to be submissive, and it have helped me out a lot as a woman. And he goes with a word, so it's in a word of God. So I can, it's not his own saying. So I cannot listen to some part of the word and not take the other part. So it really helped me through. And I think I'm still a work in progress, but God is still working through me. And another thing I like about the prophet is how he loved children. And I see the children in the house of God and how they want to do more for God. And I realize this is the church that my children need to grow in so that they can follow the same step. Because in the way LA is, the way the word is, I mean, I think this is the church that they need. And I thank God. Sometimes they will say stuff and I was like, wow. And I knew it was, and they loved Bishop Dak. When we went to the camp, they couldn't wait to meet Bishop Dak. And when they saw him, they were so happy. So I thank God for his life, for all the pastors, for the word I'm soaking in every day. So thank you, prophet.
Amen. Amen. What a powerful testimony. I believe that through the prophet, her life was preserved. Amen. Man, let us invite our dear sister, Caitlin, to also share her testimony.
To you, my everything, my testimony.
Good morning, family. So I just wanted to talk about how I really thank Bishop for his book, Daughter, You Can Make It, because that really, like, opened up. I think it helped me, like, unlock God's will for me as a woman, because I grew up in a single-parent home. My mom was the man of the house, so I'm used to, like, women being, like, you know, the head of everything. You know, they're the ones with the power and everything, because that's what I'm accustomed to. That's, you know, my grandma's single. It's the same thing. Like, every woman in my life is the head of everything. So I was used to being like that. And, like, I'm also, you know, feminist. I've, like, grown up that way, that, like, you know, women, you know, girls run the world, that type of thing. And that it caused, like, a lot of, like, clashing in my relationship. I've never been in, like, a Christian relationship. And, I mean, like, I was in church for a little bit part of my life, but never was, like, submission talked about, never, like, how to, like, be a wife, and, like, the things that are described in, like, Proverbs 31 and, like, things that are described in Daughter, You Can Make It. Those are things that I've never experienced before this year. So I started, you know, reading the book and, like, realizing that, like God didn't intend for, like, the woman to be ahead. And even though it's not something that, like, I'm accustomed to, or not something that, like, this, you know, 2018 feminist world would, like, tell you is the right way to go, but if God says that, like, I'm supposed to submit, then I need to follow what God wants me to do as opposed to what the world wants me to do. And that was, like, hard for me to adjust to, but through, like, reading the book, Daughter, You Can Make It, and, like, also listening to Lady Rev, his wife, which is, like, I thank her a lot, too, because just the teachings that they give us in, like, these podcasts and in these books about, like, the way, like, a virtuous woman is supposed to be, like, have really, like, changed my life completely. It's changed my mind. It's changed my heart about a lot of these things. And now, like, I know that I'm different because, like, I look, like, I'll see on Twitter and stuff, all these, like, women are, like, marriage is used to, like, undermine women, blah, blah. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, read the Bible. Like, all you have to do is read the Bible. Like, you know, and it's definitely, it, like, I believe, like, it really comes practically, like, into your life once you believe it. Because, like, I don't know, if I was talking to, like, myself 3 years ago, like, ugh, we'd be fighting, like, myself 3 years ago, and now we'd be at odds, because, like, it's really different when you're, like, in the world, and, like, you just listen to what everyone else has to say. But when you, like, listen to people like the prophet and Lady Rev, and listen to what God has to say, like, what he wants for you, like, everything comes in place. And, you know, I thank God that, like, it's been able to help me. I feel like, develop into, like, who God wants me to be, and, like, thank God, like, help me, like, you know, keep my relationship and stuff like that. And I believe,
amen.
And I just truly believe that it, I believe it's really important to, like, actually listen to, like, what he's teaching us, because he's not, like, Hazel just said, he's not teaching just from, oh, what I think women should be like. No, he's reading the Bible, and, like, this is what God wants us to be like. And I just thank him for putting that, you know, into my life and being able to, like, you know, reap the benefits of that. And, I mean, I'm still a work in progress, but I know that I'm, you know, going to get there.
Amen. 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 Wow, what a powerful testimony. These are just, they're not stories. These are transformations that are happening in people. Amen. Amen. Wawuzi. It's a double wawuzi. Amen. Amen. Trent, you need to give the Lord an offering. Amen. 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 We still have some more testimonies. Let us welcome. Let us welcome. Let us welcome our brother Moses to share the testimony.
When you want God, just for blessing me. All my friends and my family, they give up on me. You give me a chance, now they are kissing me. How about you two?
How about brother? How about brother?
Amen. Only your brother, not well, sort of thank the prophet for for giving me an opportunity to be married to I remember last year Pastor Charles was just actually telling me that during the preaching he said, "You shall be married next year." And that's practically happened. And this year, he said that there shall be 77 weddings. And by the grace of God, we held on to that. We are part of it. Yeah, and secondly, I just want to say that I want to thank him a lot. You know, someone like me, I rarely had any, how do I put it, any faith or any, I always felt kind of down. I was like, why would God even use someone like me? You know, I was like, I mean, I didn't even believe in myself. You know, I was like, hey, me, that God would even use me. I'm also always surprised people say, God used me. God touched me through. I'm like, hey, are you serious? You know? So I want to thank him for really, really encouraging me. And I want to say anyone out there to that, you feel God can't use you, listen to the prophet and you'll be really encouraged. The Bible says that his word is like a double, it's sharper than a double-edged sword and it cuts away everything in your life. So God bless you, prophet, and I love you very much. I hope to meet you one day personally. God bless you.
Amen. What a very powerful testimony. So he wants to thank God, you know, for the prophet because he met his wife because of the prophet. So, Bishop, we thank you. Amen. Amen. We still have more testimonies. Let us put our hands together and welcome Obasi.
What's good, y'all? I just want to thank our prophet, Bishop Dag, because earlier this year, I went to the camp in Orlando, Florida, and that camp was pretty much just life-changing. I remember just sitting down and just watching him, just looking at him, just like, how can a man, like, love God this much? It was just it was just shocking to me. And then at the end of the camp, I just made that, like, one of my goals, like, to try to get my level to that. And then another thing is his podcast. In his podcast, he said there's levels to Christianity. And God forbid, but a Christian could stay at level one all his life. And I don't want that. I want to grow as a Christian. And just pretty much the podcast has just changed my life. It changed my way of just looking at the world, changed my way of thinking, changed my way of just my appearance and everything. And it's just pretty much what you're under the influence of, just constantly just putting myself in, like locking myself in my room, soaking myself with the messages that just changed my life, you know. And I just want to thank our prophet, Bishop Dag, for that. So, yeah.
We're going to take one more testimony before we watch another video. Let us welcome our brother Augustine to share his testimony.
Hello, guys. I have just two quick testimonies. One testimony is I want to thank our prophet, Bishop Dag, for, patching up the relationship between me and my brother. Growing up, me and my brother weren't close. People think we're close because we seem close now, but we weren't close. I remember there was a time where I didn't talk to my brother for like 2 years. We didn't talk at all. And I remember my brother started going to Lighthouse. You know, he became radical, you know, doing all the Lighthouse things. And then I'll be in the house, and it just made me hate him more. And then, you know, he'd be trying to anacazo me to do things and stuff like that. And then one day, you know, we just got in a really bad altercation and then just cut it off. And then I went on doing my things. And I remember last year I came, last year, 2017, man, I came and I saw my brother getting appointed. And then we were just in the car. I was waiting to go back to the Bay. We were just in the car. My brother was playing a message and he was just talking to me. I wasn't even listening to him. I was on my phone. And then I remember in a message, I don't know what Bishop was saying, but something just touched my heart. Like that moment, something just touched my heart. And I was about to cry, and I started looking in the window. I was like, nah, he can't see me cry. Like, you know? I was looking in the window, and then after whenever we got to where we were going, I just looked at him. I was like, I want to be saved. And then he was like, really? Like, yo, what's going on? Like, so then he led me to Christ, and then, you know, since then, like, our relationship has been amazing. I didn't know I had such an amazing brother. You know, I thought, like, I had a bad brother, but because of, you know, the preachings of Bishop, I've been able to patch up the relationship with my brother. And then the other testimony is, when I became saved, I was really struggling to learn verses. You know, being the brother of Pastor Paul, I mean, you guys know how he is. He knows verses. He knows everything. So me too, like, I'm very competitive. So I was like, you know, you can't just be knowing these things, and I don't know these things. So me too, I'm going to learn. So I will sit, I'll, like, make note cards, like, okay, this verse says this, and I won't. The next day, I'm like, I still don't know these verses. So I was like, all right, what is Pastor Paul doing that I'm not doing? So then I would be listening to messages. But then I wasn't listening to Bishop Dagg. I was listening to, like, other preachers. But it wasn't clicking. And then Pastor Paul was like, listen to Bishop Dagg. That's our prophet of the house. And I was like, okay. So I started listening to Bishop Dagg. And as I was listening to Bishop Dagg, I listened to every message, like, multiple times. And then next thing you know, I can quote every single verse in that message that Bishop Dagg said. Then I listened to another message multiple times. I could quote every single verse in that message that Bishop Dagg said. So next thing you know, I'll be talking to my brother. And I was like, oh, and this verse said this and that. So it's like now I was able to know verses just because of listening to the prophet. So I thank the prophet, you know, for his messages and the podcast and for patching up the relationship with me and my brother.
Amen. Amen. Testimonies. Amen. What a very powerful testimony. Through the prophet, relationships are being mended. Amen. 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 Wow, what a prophet that we have. Amen. He practically, these are not staged pictures, please. Those of you who are thinking that we just took the pictures to, yeah, photo. No, this is him practically going after consecration. Those of you who don't know consecration, it's when bishops are, or it's a very huge ceremony. It's like the president being, you know, coming into his presidency, something like that. But, you know, right after, then he goes to a site and practically, you know, picks things up and does all these things. Doesn't just sit on his throne and, you know, commands. Actually practically does these things. So I encourage all of you to, as we are here building our church, you know, the chairs don't practically come out from there to here. We manually pull them, you know, and arrange them. All of this, you see that when we close, it will be taken down. So as Bishop is doing it, I encourage all of you to put your hands to the work. Amen. Man, we have some more testimonies. Let us welcome our dear sister Mega to share her testimony. Woo! Keep clapping.
Wow. Wow. So Wawuzi, amen. Amen. What a sister. We thank God. Amen. I am truly humbled by the life of our prophet. Amen. And I'm thankful that he started Branches because I'm going to cry. I know I would not have been here. If he hadn't sent pastors to start churches, I knew where my life was going. It was very far from church, even though I'd grown up in the church. But he sent pastors to Philadelphia who have helped guide me and mold me, and then here to LA with even more wonderful pastors, amen. But the one thing that continues to bless me about the life of our prophet is his humility, and that God can use you, and I am humbled and am thankful for his life. And the one verse that he keeps going back to, you know, is Matthew 6:33. And I've also taken that to be the verse that when I feel that I am going astray, you know, you have to go back to it. And that's to seek God's kingdom first and his righteousness. Amen. And then whatever else that you're looking for in life, God will add it unto you because you have sought him first, because you've put your heart to follow his heart. Amen. And so the podcasts are amazing. The one night Ine was spending with me, and the thing is I listen to Bishop even when I'm sleeping. So I put it on at night, and it just plays through the night. And we thank God for whoever is doing those YouTube videos, because now there's 24-hour prayers on Bishop, and then there's messages. But what Ine got up in the morning and said, she was listening to a message on her phone, and I was listening to a message on my phone. So think about it. If you're in the midst of all these people who are listening to our prophet, they're listening to different messages, but during the night, we're all listening to one voice. Amen. And it's been imparted into us, even in our sleep, because you get up and then you're refreshed and you're stronger because you've heard the voice of our prophet. And prophet, we just want to say thank you if you're listening to us. And for the camps, for the messages, for the videos. I also love, if you're not only listening to messages, try watching the videos also, because you, the things that you miss out when you just listen to the audio podcast, but in the video you get to see even his mannerisms, which you can learn and pick up from. Amen. So Bishop, we want to say thank you for your life, and thank you for answering God's call. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a very powerful testimony. Amen. Amen. I encourage all of you, leave the podcast on at night, you know, as you sleep. Amen. We have one more testimony. Let us welcome our brother Aldridge to give his
testimony. Amen. Wow. Crowd. I just want to echo what Mega said and just thank God for Bishop Dagg and him making pastors and sending pastors and sending people out into the world, because, I mean, honestly, I did not move to LA to come and stand here and lead praise and worship. That was not the goal of me moving to LA. And because Bishop Dagg has sent pastors, like, when I was moving here, because, like my wife said, I was with her, we met in Ghana and all that, and she introduced, she was going to Bishop Eddie's church. Actually, no, she was going to Bishop William's church before, so we used to go there occasionally, and then we were actually going to Bishop Eddie's church, so I told him I was moving, when I came back to America, I'm like, oh, I'm moving to LA, you know, I want to, you know, pursue this and that. And he's like, oh, yeah, we have a church there. My best friend, the one who, and he was explaining, he was telling me the one, his best man and all that. He's like, Apostle Joel, yeah, when you go there, you know, meet him. Like, he has a church in LA, find out, and, you know, when you go there, go there. So, you know, I was like, okay, I'll go. I mean, at that point, I wasn't so into, I was like, I mean, I'll have a church on Sunday to go every Sunday, come sit in the back, or, you know, and then fellowship. But I think God has a will for each and every one of us, and he has a plan that we don't even know for our life, because, like I said, I did not intend to come here for any of that. I didn't intend to become, to be in a church and so deep in a church. I mean, I've grown up in church all my life, and it's not like, I don't know how to say it. There are so many things that you hear, but hearing it in this church, it clicks differently, and I don't know how to word that. It's like there's something that just, it's the anointing, literally. And it literally just catches you, and it's able to affect you, and like the impartation that comes upon your life is so great. So I just want to thank Bishop for sending out pastors. Like Becca said, like, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to meet Apostle Joel. And I'm learning so much just by being in this church and just by being at his feet. Because, I mean, he's like a direct connection of Bishop Dagg. Like, they call him the Bishop General. I've heard General Bishop. So I'm like, as you're here, I'm learning so much. And being here, I'm just so thankful to be in the presence of God and to be able to work for God. Because if I wasn't in this church, I honestly don't think I would have made it to heaven. Because as you learn about the Bible, you realize that there's so many things that you were not doing or you could have done that you were not doing. Like you think, oh, I'm a good person. I go to church on Sunday and you say a little prayer here and there. So you think that's all it takes to go to heaven. But I mean, I think honestly, I wasn't born again because there were so many things I would do, so many things you would watch, you listen, so many things in the world that you were still engaged in. But you go to church on Sunday as a, you know, like a routine because that's how we've been trained. So I just want to thank God for that and for Bishop for sending pastors out here. And also, I just want to thank God for the teachings of Bishop Dak because it literally helps you in so many ways. Like, I mean, and not in the aspect of the word, but like even to apply to your life, like career-wise, being married, it makes a marriage so much easier. Like, it really makes it so much. Because there's so many things other people deal with. Like, I have parents who are divorced. And like, sometimes I even advise them because I'm like, and my mom actually listens because she knows that something is changing. Like, you know something that she doesn't, like, I try to, like, impart something, I'm like, you shouldn't do this way, do this like that, like, don't speak like that, do this, and, like, she actually takes the advice, and that would have happened if it wasn't for the teachings of Bishop Dak. So he has tremendously helped me. Being married at this age is not, you know, most people don't get married at such a young age, but he has blessed us, and he has given us the wisdom to, you know, serve God and also be married, and not only, like, a boring Christian marriage, but we're having fun, we're, you know, we're enjoying the things we should enjoy, and we are blessed just to be in the presence. So I just want to thank Bishop, the prophet, so much, and I can't wait to one day meet him. I mean, I've been in so many, you know, being in Ghana, you know Bishop Dag, everyone knows of him, but to see him in this light after being in the chair, just like, what a power, what an anointing. So I just want to thank you. I know you watch us, so I just want to say this directly to you. I love you, and thank you for my salvation.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Testimony.
Amen. What a very powerful testimony. I believe that DJ Joel, calm down. What a very powerful testimony. I believe that lives are being changed, lives are being transformed. And if you have a testimony, you know, because of time, you can always talk to Pastor Charles, and we'll give you an opportunity to share it next week. So it's not ending. We still have more testimonies, but we'll share them next week. Amen. It's now time for the word. If you can rise up to your feet, let us stand up and let us welcome our dear pastor,
wow,
our Father Apostle.
Wow. What a blessing. Amen. Well, those were some very powerful testimonies. I am actually amazed at how many people's lives have been affected by the podcast. You know, and I want... Is that Amma? Wow. Okay. I want to recommend that every one of us, you know, not leave church today without the podcast on our phones, okay? So why don't you just check with your neighbor? Just say, show me your phone. Let me see your podcast. I just want to be sure you're sorted out. Tell your neighbor, I just want to be sure you're sorted out before you leave this place. You know, yeah. Amen. All right. Now, if they don't have the podcast yet, just make an appointment with them for after the service. Just tell them after the service, I'll hook you up, I'll help you, and I'll sort you out with a podcast, okay? James, you got a podcast? All right, okay. All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Give Jesus a clap offering, everybody. And while you're standing, why don't we say a word of prayer? And we will be seated after that. Father, we thank you for giving us reason to celebrate today. And we thank you for the life of our dear bishop, our dear pastor, our dear prophet, our dear teacher, our dear apostle, evangelist. So many gifts you have packed in one man. And you have given that one man to us. What a blessing. Thank you for his life. Thank you for all of us who can point to something in our lives that came from him. Thank you, Lord, for opening our eyes and touching our hearts, even to receive him as who you have made him for us. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless him grant him a very long life, Lord. And may many, 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 many more people have testimonies like the ones we've heard today. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless them also with the opportunity. Bless more people with a chance to encounter his ministry and let your will be done in his life. We thank you for his family, his children. We pray, Lord, that you bless them too. His wife, Lord. His brothers, his sisters, Lord. Everyone connected to him, Lord. We pray that you will bless them also. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah. Right, please be seated. We don't have a whole lot of time left. So I just wanted to read just a few verses with you. Amen. You sure about that? You know I can preach for a long time, right? All right. So today we are celebrating, you know, our pastor, our prophet, our teacher. You know, he's everything to all of us, including a dad to many of us. Amen. And I believe that it is important. Today our memory verse was actually a very good one that says, 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and in doctrine. Amen. Amen. So it is important for us to honor people who do well and people who work well for the Lord. Hallelujah. What we are accustomed to is dishonoring elders. You know, actually there are a lot of people who sometimes have joined some of our churches in other places, right? You know, for a moment I thought he was standing. I was going to say, who's standing? You know, right. But this is him, so you don't know him. Yes. Yeah. It's a blessing. Amen. Right. So there are a lot of people who join our church and who are not accustomed to honoring and celebrating someone. They are more used to people, you know, bad-mouthing and, you know, talking and saying all sorts of things about leaders, you know. And it's a habit you can pick up, actually, without realizing it. That once someone is a pastor or once someone is a leader, then basically he's good for talking about, you know, and talking badly about, you know. Many people say many bad things about pastors. And so a lot of people are not used to this. And when they come to our church and they see us speaking positively about the gift that God has given us, some who are humble enough learn it and it becomes a blessing to them. Others are shocked by it. And they say that we worship the person, you know, because if we were saying as many bad things about the same person, that wouldn't be worship. You see, if we were saying, talking as much about the same person, just negative, that would be okay for many people. But when you say positive things about people, then many people don't like it. And it is because we live in a very hypocritical world that does not appreciate good things. And when you don't appreciate good things don't come to you. You know, the things that stay with you are the things you treat well. Is it true or not? If you were to leave your shoes outside and it would rain on them, it's only going to be another few days and you have no shoes to wear. You have no shoes to wear, not because you never got shoes, but because you did get shoes, but you didn't treat them well, you know. So when you don't treat gifts, good gifts well, you don't benefit from them and you are not blessed by them. because of how you handle them. Hallelujah. Many of us are in a habit of saying good things about people when they die. You know, if you want to hear good things about yourself, die. Yeah. If you want people to forget about every bad thing you ever did and talk about you like you're an angel, just die. You know, or you can even fake it. Yeah. And you see, even your enemies will show up at your funeral and start saying positive things about you. They will even describe their fights with you in a very positive light. They say, I know we fought a lot, but you know, fighting you taught me bravery. By all means, they will find a way of saying something positive about you. But that's when you are dead. That's when you can't hear it. That's when you can't know it, you know. So we prefer that we would honor people while they are alive. Amen. What do you think? Would you not like to be honored while you are alive? If I had something good to say about you, would you not like to hear it while you are alive? If I had something good to give to you, would you not have it while you are alive? Or would you like me to donate it to your family as a funeral donation? You'd like me to give it to you now. Yeah. So that's what the Bible says. The Bible says elders that rule well must be counted worthy. That means they qualify, you know, not only to be honored, but to be honored twice. Can you see that? Double the honor for elders that rule well, especially those who labor in the word and in doctrine. And honestly, I am so glad today as I heard the testimonies. You know, DJ's testimony really blessed me, and Caitlin, and there was somebody else who was also talking about ladies, and who was the third person? Hazel, that's right. Yes, you know, it's a blessing for me to hear these testimonies, and I know that there are even greater things that God is going to do. Amen. It reads on in verse 18 of this chapter says, for the scripture says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. The laborer is worthy of his reward. Right? Now listen. Now, if this verse right here, which says for the scripture says, means because the scripture says, isn't it? Then it means for is connecting this verse to the previous one. Does that make sense? So the previous one says that elders who rule well must be counted worthy of double honor. Right? Especially elders who labor in the word and in doctrine. Then verse 18 is saying, because you must not muzzle or tie up the mouth of the ox that is treading out the corn. Isn't it? That means the ox that is treading out the corn, you know, or working with the corn or doing something with the corn, must get to eat some of it. Does that make sense? Why is he saying don't tie its mouth? Because, I mean, oxen don't speak. So you're not tying the mouth, or it's not saying that you shouldn't tie the mouth so you allow them to speak. That's not what it is about. But it's about eating. Do you understand? And then he says, because the laborer, the one who is working, is worthy of his reward. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Are you understanding the scriptures? Yes. And we have to grow up and be mature to understand that honoring somebody actually is also linked to being a blessing to the person. Because what he started by saying, that we should count them worthy of double honor. Do you have the Amplified translation of this verse? the Amplified translation of this verse. It says, let the elders who perform the duties of their office well be considered doubly worthy of honor, right? Then it says, and of adequate financial support. So he's talking about money, right? The honor he's talking about is not a salute. It's also that you be a blessing to the person financially. Can you see that? Then it says, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. So let me ask you, has he preached to you? Has he taught you? Have you been blessed by his teachings? Well, then it says he qualifies that you will bless him financially. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then the next verse 18 says, because or for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it is treading out the grain. And again, the laborer is worthy of his hire. Hallelujah. So that's why we set aside a day like this to recognize the gift of God in our midst, and also to give you all an opportunity to be a blessing to him. Amen. Now, it's a very important opportunity that you must take advantage of, because what I realize is that when God wants to show his love to people, he always puts a prophet or a man of God in your life. Amen. He puts a man of God in your life. And when God puts a man of God in your life, it is the beginning of change in your life. That's how God changes all of us, by connecting us to someone, connecting us to a man of God. Amen. And that's what God is trying to do as he has placed Bishop Dagg in our lives. God is trying to reach him through us. Oh, the other way around. Reach us through him. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Paul said, you know, some people were fighting over, you know, who belongs to who, you know. And Paul said, why are you even having this fight? And then he says, who is Paul and who is Apollos? But they are ministers by whom you believed. You see, ministers by whom you believe. Are you bringing that scripture? Right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Right. It says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed? Right. Then it says, even as the Lord gave to every man. So God gives to every man someone by whom you become something you're not. Do you see what I'm saying? By whom you become something you're naturally not. Something you didn't have the opportunity to become. You know, sometimes by virtue of our background, where we grew up, who was in our lives as we were growing up, the experiences we had as we grew up, we turn out a certain way and become a certain way. Sometimes you meet very mean, wicked people and you wonder if they have any soul in them, or if they have any, you just wonder, how can a human being be so callous and insensitive and so wicked? Many of them, the answer lies in the background. It is how they grew up. Some of them have been abused. Some have been used by different people. Some have been maltreated. Some have experienced wickedness. And actually, when you grow up experiencing wickedness, you feel like, you know, you don't owe anybody kindness. You feel like you also need to treat people that way, because that's what you got. And you feel like people deserve that also from you. And that's how you can experience such callousness from people, and wickedness and insensitivity from people. It's because that's what they experience. And they feel like there's no reason why you should have any easier life when I had one that was so difficult. Do you understand? Yeah. But you see, from time to time, God, in his mercy and in his love, steps in. Do you see? He steps into your life to intercept, you know, the continuation of wickedness, you know, that has been coming down the line, sometimes through generations, from your great-grandmother or great-grandfather to your grandfather and to your dad, and then coming down. God sometimes steps in to block it so that you can be the beginning of a new generation of people whose lives are different. Are you getting the picture? And to do that, God will often put a man in your life. When God wanted to stop sin, he sent his only begotten son. He sent a human being. He sent Jesus to come and intercept the lives of humanity in order to begin a new kind of person who would be able to live, you know, and move away from sin. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God gives us people, but many people do not receive the people that God sends to them. John chapter 1 and verse 11. John chapter 1 and verse 11. The Bible says, he came to his own. He came to his own, and his own received him not. This is talking about Jesus. He came to his own received him not. But look at the next verse, verse 12. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. So that person who was not received in verse 11 actually had power. Do you understand? He had power with him. He gave them power, verse 12. He gave them power to become sons of God. Power to become sons of God. Now, if you have to become something, then you are not it. Isn't it? If you have to become something, then you are not it. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, we are all children of God, or we are all sons of God. No, if you are now becoming a son of God, you are not. You are not. You cannot all be sons of God and receive power to become sons of God. Does it make sense? Yeah. So you see that he gave them power to become sons of God. Now, what I want to say is that often the things we want to become, or the things we would like to become, the things we would like to be, or the way we ought to be, we are not because we lack the power to become those things. And God puts somebody in your life through whom God can channel the power that enables you to become what you should become. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So he said, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you can see that the God gives power to become things. Power to become a good wife. You know, the testimonies these ladies are sharing this morning is power to become a wife. That's what it is. That's what it translates into. You know, as I heard Caitlin speaking, I mean, if you see the way she described her posture before, do you get it? That posture does not work with marriage. You can't be somebody's wife with that kind of mind. It doesn't mean that, no, I'm not saying nobody can fall in love with you. Someone can fall in love with you. You get it? I don't mean nobody can have sex with you. Someone can have sex with you. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is, to live with someone as the person's wife cannot work with that kind of mind. So when you now embrace someone into your life, who now teaches you something else that changes how you think. What that person has given you now is power to become a wife. Yes, you can. Yeah. No, and if you continue to hold on to the things you've been taught, you can walk chest out into a marriage with an expectation for it to last forever, till death do us part. Because what you have received is power. The power, power. power is the enabling ability to be something. Yeah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Because falling in love, that's why it's called falling in love, is mostly without effort. Do you see what I'm saying? It's mostly without effort. The people we fall in love with, we never plan to fall in love with them. Yeah. We meet them somewhere. Before we know it, we're in love with them. Yeah. There's no one who says, I'm about to fall in love. 3, 2, 1. Falling in love. It's nothing like that. Yeah. People meet people and before they know it, they're falling in love. You know, and somehow, especially if you're a guy, falling in love also just turns on a machine or a motor in you. You know, that makes you have to need to talk and even say things you cannot be. You get it? Yeah. You say big things, you know, you say nice things, you say sweet things, but you don't even know that you don't have the capacity to produce those things. Yeah, you don't have it. You cannot be it. Do you understand? Yeah. I mean, who is going to love the same person no matter what they do? You see, by the time you're saying, I do, you are like someone giving a blank check to someone to write any amount on it when they don't know what you have in your account. Do you see what I'm saying? That's it. When people are saying, I do, that's exactly what they're doing. They're handing someone a blank check and they're saying, write anything you want on it. And they don't know what they have in their account. Both the one who's writing and the one who gave the check don't know. Do you get it? So usually when people write some of these checks, then people write amounts.
Amounts.
Yeah. Then soon you realize, No, I can't give that. I can't handle that. I can't deal with that. No, I can't handle this behavior. No, I can't deal with this. You see, yeah, it's like the person overwrought. Yeah. We overdrew the account, overdrew the bank, and they shut the bank down. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we don't have the capacity to do a lot of these things. And that is because of our fallen nature as human beings. So then God puts people in our lives. So he said, as many as received him, he gave them power. Power to become. Power to become. Power to become. And the testimonies we are hearing this morning are an illustration of how people receive power to become. When you can see clearly who you are now as very distinct from who you used to be. And you can see the difference. And you know that the difference is that somebody came into your life and told you something. And that something empowered you and made you capable of being someone you were not before. Hallelujah. And this verse shows us the two ingredients that bring or that introduce that power into your life. Number one is receiving the person. It says, as many as received him. You have to receive the person for the person to give you what he comes with into your life. Hallelujah. You have to receive him. And the way you receive people determines what they become to you. You see, last week we were reading a verse from Matthew chapter. Look at that verse we read last week. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40. Now, In this verse, you can see why receiving is important, and the receiving is powerful, because first of all, it's saying that he that receiveth you receiveth me. Can you see that? Yeah. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So Jesus, this is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus speaking. And Jesus is saying that when he sends someone to you, when he sends someone to you, receiving that person is receiving him. And receiving him is receiving him that sent him. That is God who sent Jesus. I mean, if you want to know who sent Jesus, John 3:17 says God sent his son. God sent his son. It says God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So it shows you how Jesus got here and why he came. It means God sent him. Right. And receiving Jesus is receiving the one who sent him. You see, and that's receiving God. And that is why receiving people can change your life. If God sends them, receiving them is receiving the one who sent them. So that's why it comes with power. That's why receiving the person seems to make a difference. The person is not God, but what it is when you receive the person, you receive the one who sent the person. Do you understand? And that person starts to download different things into your life that you didn't have before. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, I sit in my house and I call Domino's and I order a pizza and different kinds of toppings and so on. And then I wait for it. After about maybe half an hour, someone knocks on the door. That person is sent to me from Domino's. Do you understand? I don't know him, never met him before, you know, but he's been sent to me by Domino's. If I receive him, he gives me something that Domino's gave to him, to give to me. He doesn't have to come from my country. He doesn't have to speak with my accent. He doesn't have to look like me. We don't have to have the same skin color. He doesn't have to be shorter than I am or taller than I am. He doesn't have to be fat or slim. None of those things matter. All that matters is that someone has been sent to me. If I receive him, I get to enjoy the pizza. My whole evening is different because of who I received. Yeah. See, if you struggle with receiving people, you're going to struggle with receiving things from the one who sends them. And I tell you what, as long as you live on this earth, God is going to send somebody to you. God will send somebody to you. God will send somebody to you. It will have to be somebody. It will have to be a person. You know, nobody sends, even the government. The government does not send any monkeys into anybody's house. You know, if the government wants your taxes, they send someone to you. The government wants to arrest you, they send someone to you. The government wants to fix something in your house, they send someone to you. You are only going to have someone sent to you. That's why you need to learn how to receive the people that God sends to you. Can I have an amen? Matthew 23 and verse 37, Jesus was upset with some people and he was telling them that you guys are really messing up, because he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee." Someone has been sent to you and you're stoning the person. He said, "How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not?" I wanted to help you and you would not. You would not allow yourself to be helped. I sent people to you and you didn't realize that the people I sent to you represented my help to you. And sometimes you see people who close up their lives to people that have been sent by God into their lives. You see people who want to remain private. A kind of naked privacy. You get it? A privacy that is still very open to everyone. You're hiding even the most obvious thing. Like you see sometimes some ladies get pregnant and they don't want anybody to know. And I just say, let's just wait. We'll just be here. Yeah, they don't want anybody to know. Yeah, no, I don't want any. You see some people trying to suck in their belly. You're going to kill this baby. Do you see what I'm saying? You must learn to be open to the people that God sends to you. God sends people. Look at it. God sends people. The next verse says, your house is left unto you desolate. Right? Then verse 39, he says, and I say to you, you will not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. You get it? So until you start to receive the people that come to you in the name of the Lord, he says, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So you see that God sends people. God sends people. God will always send people. You know, one time in the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, you see how God sent somebody. He says, an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is a desert. Right? Then the next, you know, he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. Next verse. He was returning and sitting in his chariot. Next one. Then it says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near. So you can see God is sending somebody. God is sending somebody. The Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. You know, so if you were this person, you would probably be somewhere and you suddenly see Philip trying to get close. You see Philip coming close. Philip asking, what is your name? Philip seeking to visit. Philip trying to get to know you. Philip asking a couple of questions. And you wouldn't know that it's all orchestrated by God. God is trying to reach you. God knows exactly where you are. Look at that man, verse 26. It says, the Spirit said to Philip, right? Go, verse 26. The angel said to Philip, arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. The Holy Spirit knows exactly where to find you. What I'm saying is that when you meet people sent to you by God, it's never an accident. It's never an accident. It is never an accident. I mean, today, if you're hearing me preach, even if it's your first time, I want to announce to you, it's not an accident. It's not an accident. God has organized it. Look at it. Look at it. There are so many roads. That is why he has to be that specific. If there was only one road, he would say, go down the road. But now he says, go down the road that goes towards the south, because the other option is the north. Isn't it? Then it says the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Then he says the one which is the desert, the dry road, that one. Wow. And then when he goes there, he has prepared for him to meet a specific individual. Hallelujah. So God sends people to us all the time. Now, when Philip is done with this fellow now is saved, you know. But somewhere along the line, I think in verse 30 or so, is it verse 30? He says, no, let's verse 30. He says, Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? That means, do you understand what you're reading? Isn't it? Now listen to the man's clever answer. The man answered in verse 31. He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Can you see that? He says, how can I, except some man should guide me? So you can see that even when you have the right book, as this man did, and you're reading the right page, as this man did. You see, this man was reading the right page from the right book, and yet he understood that, you know, for me to get to a certain place, I have to receive someone. I have to engage someone. I have to not block access to me by that someone, but open up my life in a truthful and frank way to someone and allow that person to come through. And as the person came in, this man, Philip, he says he desired that Philip would come up and sit with him. He said, Philip, would you please come? Come up, come up. Come and join me. Come and sit with me. He invited Philip into his life. So when God has given you someone, you need to take those steps to include that person in your life. That's why you need to get on the podcast. You're the one who must say, where's the podcast? I hear some people talking about some podcast that has changed their lives. If not for any reason, I mean, everyone could use a better life, isn't it? Yeah, everyone could use a better life. So if not for any reason, you know, let me just check out this podcast. What is in there? Maybe something in there might change something for me and help me. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So receiving people, receiving the people that God sends to you is very important. Can I have an amen? Amen? Tell your neighbor you need to receive the people God sends to you. Hallelujah. Now go back to that original verse, the verse we're reading, John 1:12. Then the second point before we close is, that you need to believe the people we receive. Can you understand that? You have to believe the people you receive. Now, many times we receive people, but we don't believe them. We don't believe what they say. We receive them. Yes, he's a prophet. He's a man of God. He's anointed and all that. That is okay. But we do not believe the things they say. We do not believe. And the proof of our lack of faith in what they are saying often is the fight, is the silent talking back. Do you get it? Yeah. The table tennis playing, you know, like when someone is preaching and you know, or two people are playing tennis, you know, you hit and the person hits it back and you hit and the person hits it back. And that's what some people do when they are listening to preaching. You know, you don't announce it, you don't say it, but you're playing the game. When he says this, you say this back. When he says this, you say this back. So you are arguing with your mind. You don't believe the things that people are saying. And that is going to affect you. Do you understand? It says, even those who believed, he gave them power. He gave them power. Hallelujah. He gave them power. The last verse, Second Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 20. It says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Then he says, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Can you see that? He says, believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. But believe in his prophets and you will prosper. Believe in his prophets and you will prosper. Believe in his prophets and you will prosper. You know, prosper means you will succeed. Hallelujah. Yes. And the testimonies we're hearing this morning, these people are on their way to succeeding. Amen. They're going to succeed. They're going to succeed. What they do, they will prosper in it because they heard the word and they believed it. Yeah. DJ was telling us as he would preach, then she would be thinking, well, why is he saying? But it's true. You know, then she'll be saying, but why is he saying that? But it's true. You get it? You believe it. And it is believing the things you are hearing that is actually causing the transformation in your life. And people who believe the prophecies, he said, the bishop often says the prophecy you believe is the prophecy that will happen practically in your life. The prophecy, what you believe, is what will happen practically in your life. What you believe is what will happen practically in your life. So you have to believe the prophets. You have to believe the prophets. When God sends you a prophet, you have to believe. And I believe that God has sent us a great prophet. God has sent us a great man of God. God has sent us someone. And I believe that by virtue of who sent him, there's a lot of power coming your way as you receive and as you believe. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. John chapter 14 and verse 1. John chapter 14 and verse 1. John chapter 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Can you see that? This is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus speaking. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, ye believe in God. Believe also in me. This is Jesus. You believe in God. Believe also in me. You see, let me just, I was talking to you, or I was telling you earlier about Domino's, right? You see, if I sit in my house and I see an ad in a newspaper and it says Domino's, they say they make pizzas, you know, and they put a phone number there, I have to believe them to call, isn't it? I have to believe them to make that call. Like I'm hungry and I've decided to believe this piece of paper, you know, I found maybe next to the garbage. Do you see what I'm saying? And I believe and I make the call. And I even give them my credit card numbers. That's a lot of faith. Do you understand? And I believe and I order the pizza. Now this verse is saying that's not the only people to believe. When that guy shows up at the door, if I think of him as a thief, instead of thinking of him as someone sent to me by Domino's, then in spite of believing in Domino's, I still stay hungry. Does that make sense? Do you get it? Jean-Jacques, vous comprenez? Oui, très bien. Yeah. Do you understand that it's not enough to believe in Domino's? Your belief in Domino's is what makes you call them and place an order for a pizza. But that is not enough. After you have believed in Domino's, you need to believe in the guy who knocks on the door. If you don't believe the man who knocks on the door and who and open up to that person, your faith in Domino's will still keep you hungry. So a lot of people are suffering and going through unnecessary pain and trouble and complicated lives and complications, not because they don't believe in God. They believe in God. They just have no prophet. They don't have anybody they believe in. The delivery man, they don't believe in him. They have issues with his car. They have issues with his clothing. They have issues with his skin color. They have issues with his accent. They have issues with so many different things about him. Even his purple jacket. Yay! No, if you go to a QFC church, you need to have at least a purple something hanging somewhere in your closet. So today I decided to, to make use of it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's not enough to believe in God. You've got to believe in his prophet. So look, this is Jesus. He said, look, let not your heart be troubled. All right? Then he says, ye believe in God. That means you already believe in God. So he says, I know that's not a problem. The problem, we need to get over this one. This one is that you need to now believe also in me. So there are a lot of hungry people who have dialed the correct numbers. They've called the right company, Domino's. They've placed the right order. They've even paid for it. They're only left with one thing. Believe in the delivery man. If the delivery man shows up at your door and you look through the peephole and instead you go get your gun. You call him a thief. Which is what happens. Many people don't benefit from pastors because many people have such a bad mind about pastors. Yeah. Now these guys have to go for a meeting, so that's where they're going. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah, many people have just a bad mind about pastors. About men of God. They're only postured negatively. Everything the pastor does, it is subject to a negative interpretation. He is guilty until he is proven innocent. When it should have been the opposite. That you should be thinking of him as a good person until you have reason to think of him as a bad person. But don't write people off. Amen. Amen. Don't dismiss the man of God. Don't dismiss the people that God sends to you. God sends people to you. And God sends them your way to bless you, to change your life, to fix your life, to change your thoughts and thinking, to change things that have taken root in your life. Imaginations, thoughts, deadly thoughts. Some of our thoughts are deadly. Yeah, some of us are, we are not seeing how deadly they are because they lack context. Do you see what I'm saying? You see, for example, if I brought a you know, let's say one of those cylinders we use, the gas cylinders we use for barbecues, you know, when they are sitting in the store, they don't look dangerous. But that's a bomb right there. Do you understand? But it's not exploding because it's missing the fire that lights it up. So it's the same thing. Some of us are harboring thoughts that are potentially explosive. It's just you don't have the person who will light it up. Yeah, that's how come good, beautiful looking people can have a very horrible experience when they get married. Because they were just a nice, beautiful cylinder packed with explosives, just waiting for an igniter. Yeah. So you marry somebody and that person becomes like an ignition. And when he lights up your thoughts and you find yourself all over the place. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's not a new thing that has been introduced. That's you. Without the context. But now that you have been repositioned, you realize you're a totally different person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But God sends people, preaching after preaching, message after message, message after message. The message you don't like is the message you must hear. Yeah. What you don't like, what doesn't sit well with you, is what you must entertain. Yeah. You see, if this lady came to me as a doctor and she had a problem with her arm, do you see? And I'm going around it, you know, I'm looking for the pain. And then, you see, as I'm doing this, she's not responding. But if I touch this place and she goes like that, what does that mean? It means I need to come back there. That's where the issue is. Yeah. So sometimes the way you identify what you need to hear is by what you don't like to hear. That part of it you didn't like. The part that you felt, I don't like this. That's it. That's where the thing is. Because as long as they're touching you where you don't hurt, you know, everything is okay. Yeah. You get it? Yeah. 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 But sometimes as you're getting close, you see, you start to feel uneasy. You get it? Yeah. It's a sign. It's a sign. That's when you need to say, preach on. Because as he goes further and further, now he touches the flesh. Yes. Yeah. Then you need to give that place a second chance. Now we're going to take only that place. Only that place. I was listening to a message the other day, and there was a part of the message that I felt, you know, I felt it was ministering to me, it was talking to me. So I played that part again. It was on my iPad. It was a video. And I used my cell phone to record it. Yeah, like it was just like 3 minutes of something, you know, and I recorded a 3 minute segment so I can play that bit over and over and over again until I'm comfortable with it. Yeah, until I can touch her elbow without any pain, she's not well. Yeah, until I can touch her without this response, it means she's not well. That's a problem. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. God has sent us a great man. And we are blessed to have him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And if we receive him, if we believe the word, if we believe the teachings, if we believe and obey, God will bless us greatly through his ministry. Say amen. Stand to your feet and let's pray. It's time to close. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. Close your eyes, everybody, and let's pray. Today, I want you to ask yourself, what have I done with the person that God has sent into my life? Am I one of those people playing table tennis with the Word of God? Am I one of those people fighting back because I'm so insecure and I'm so deceived and deluded that I'm holding on and defending my thoughts and my actions and my behavior, even though God has sent someone to me to help me out, to take me out of that situation so I can have power to become what I must become. I can have power. I can have power, 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 power. It's not enough to have the dream or the vision. You need the power to execute the dream. You need the power that brings that dream to pass. It's not enough to dream and to imagine that you are this or that, that you would be this or that. But you need power to stay there when you get there. You need power to be that thing. I want you to pray. Everybody just lift up your right hand and pray and say, Lord, please help me. I realize, Lord, that I need your help in this area. I need you to help me to receive the man of God, to receive the prophet, to receive the voice you have placed in my life. The voice that speaks the word, the voice that counsels me, the voice that prays for me, the voice that prophesies unto me. Lord, help me in this area in the name of Jesus. Everybody lift up your right hand and just pray this prayer for a few moments and ask the Lord to help you in the name of Jesus. Makabolo moshatara balababa mikabalababaya. In the name of Jesus, mikatalabasatariyalababaya. In Jesus' name, everybody pray, pray and ask God. Just tell the Lord in the name of Jesus, Lord, help me. In the name of Jesus, pray, everybody just pray and say, Lord, I see that the problem is not you. The problem is not that you don't care about me, but the problem is what I keep doing with the people that you send to me. Lord, please help me to be open. Help me to receive them in the name of Jesus. Just pray and say, Lord, help me. Help me to be open. Help me to be humble. 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 Yes. Because without humility, you cannot receive the people that God sends to you. Pray for humility and ask God to help you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Now, as we get ready to close this service today, maybe you're here and God has touched your heart. Jesus said that he who receives you receives me. It's important to receive Jesus. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Falling short of the glory of God means that we have failed to represent God in our looks, in our presentation, in our character, in our lives. We have failed. We are falling short of the beauty and the standards that God has set for us. But Jesus came for this purpose. He came to die on the cross so that his blood will wash away the dirt that sin leaves on us, so that our life of glory can begin. That is why you need Jesus. You need to receive him. You need to ask Jesus to come into your life. You need to ask Jesus. You need to request. You need to pray and say, Jesus, come into my heart. I need you. I realize I'm a sinner and only you can take away my sin. I need you, Jesus, to come into my heart. If you're here this afternoon and that is the prayer on your heart, I want you quietly, while every eye is closed, just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. If you're watching us on the internet and you want to give your life to Jesus, I want you also to stand right where you are, but just lift up your right hand just to join us, just so you are sure that you're doing something different. You're doing something, you're taking a step, performing an action to include yourself among those who are receiving Jesus today. Just keep your hand up. You want Jesus to come into your life. You want Jesus to be Lord of your life. Just keep your hand up. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, do one more thing. Just take a step and just come to me. Let's pray together right here. Just come right here. Just come very quickly. Come up to me. Come, come. Just come together. Let's pray together. I want to pray. No, just stand in front of me. Yes. I want to pray with you. Just come. Let's pray together. Anybody else who wants to pray today, you want to give your life to Jesus, just come and join them right now and let's pray together. Today is a good day to be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want us to pray. I want to lead us all in a prayer. Those of you online, you can also join in this prayer as we say together. Say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And only you can wash away my sins. I know you died for me. Because you love me. Because you can see value in me. Because you can see in me things that I don't even know exist in me. Things I don't see in myself. You see them in me. So Lord Jesus, I come to you with my life. Just as it is. Just as I am, Jesus, I come to you. Forgive my sins. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. Make me a child of God. Count me amongst your own. Count me amongst your children. Because I believe you. And I have received you. So Jesus, you are my Lord and you are my master. From this moment forward, you are my master. I will serve you with my life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Now let me pray with you. Father, thank you for touching the hearts of these ones to come to you with their lives. The Bible says no one can come to you except you draw him. And so I know, Lord, that it is you who has drawn these ones. You have touched their hearts and you have drawn them to you, Lord. I pray, Father, that the good work you have begun, you will complete, that you will establish them in Christ. Let them find their place in you. In the name of Jesus, let nothing pull them back. Let nothing hold them back. Let nothing take them out of your house and out of Christ. In the name of Jesus, I pray that they will see visions of Jesus. Give them a revelation of Jesus. Speak to them in their dreams, Lord. Speak to them in their quiet moments. Speak to them in the streets, wherever they find themselves, may the voice of God not be lost in their ears. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for this great and beautiful day. This is a day of salvation, and thank you for granting it to these ones. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. God bless you. You may go back to your seats. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you blessed today? Are you glad you came to church? Ask your neighbor, what have you done with the person that was sent to you? Ask the person, ask your neighbor, what have you done with the one who was sent to you? What did they say? They have received them and they believe them. Hallelujah. You must receive them and you must believe them. Tell them you must receive them and you must believe them. Hallelujah. That is the beginning of a new life. That is the beginning. The Bible says when you believe them, you will prosper. When you believe the prophets, you will prosper. Expect to prosper. Expect to prosper. I said expect to do well. In all areas of your life. Hallelujah. Yeah. It should not matter that no one in your family has succeeded in that area before. Maybe they didn't have a prophet. If they had one, they didn't receive the person. If they received them, they didn't believe them. But anyone who believes the prophet that God has sent them, they are bound to prosper. The scripture says, believe his prophets and so shall you prosper. So Caitlin, expect to succeed. Yes. Expect to have a very successful marriage. Yes. expect to be your husband's favorite. Hallelujah. Yeah, you should expect it. Because you know how to do it. God has blessed you with wisdom. God has blessed you with a word. He's blessed you with a prophet who speaks to you. And you don't talk back. You don't argue. But you receive the word. You know. And through that, God is changing you. And God is molding you into a new you that you will actually like. Even you will like you. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Amen. Well, we thank God for today. Let's receive our tithes. Oh, communion, right? All right. Brothers, sisters, we are one, and our lives have just begun. Oh, in the Spirit, we are young, and we'll live forever. Sons of given to bless us. The Bible says in the book of Acts that God sent his son Jesus to bless us. Not to hurt us, but to bless us. To help us. To be a blessing to us. Hallelujah. And every time we do this, he said, do this in remembrance of me. Every time we do this, we spark off. We re-engage the power and the blessing that is in receiving Jesus. Hallelujah. So I want you to lift up your bread and your wine and let's pray over it. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus to die for us. And since you sent Jesus to die for us, you have continued to send men all over the world to lay down their lives so others can come to know you, so others can experience you, so others can, through their sacrifice, come into good standing with you. Today we lift up this bread, we lift up this wine, and as we eat and drink it, we ask, oh God, for our eyes to be opened. We ask for revelation. Amen. We want our eyes to be opened to see the people that you have sent to us. for who they are. Messengers from God. People sent to give us power to become things we would never become, no matter how long we dream of becoming them. People to give us power in the form of counsel. People to give us power by prophesying over us. Power by praying for us. Power by teaching us the word of God. Thank you for sending someone like Bishop Dagg into our lives. Thank you for giving us Bishop Dagg. Thank you for taking his life and using it the way you have. Such that we who were otherwise very far off, we who were not God people, who were not church people, who were not Bible people, who were not Sunday morning going to church kind of people, today can become who we have become. Thank you so much. What a difference one man used by God makes. We pray, Lord, that you bless this communion. Let it be your power. Let it be your body. Let it be your blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Take the bread with me and say the body of Jesus Christ. You may eat it. Take the wine. Say the blood of Jesus Christ. You may drink it. As you eat the bread today and drink the wine, whatever mistakes you have made in life, you are forgiven in the name of Jesus. Those mistakes will lack the power to continue to follow you. Amen. They will lack the power to continue to hold you down. Amen. They will lack the power to continue to hold you back. They will lack the power to continue to rob you of your decent and glorious future in the name of Jesus. They will lack the power and the ability to continue to deprive you of the blessings and the greatness that God has placed in your future. You will become who you must become. Say, you will become who you must become. You will become who God has determined for you to become. God's plan for your life will be fulfilled in the name of Jesus. A glorious destiny is sure for you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We bind every devil that has been assigned to your life to keep you out of that glorious destiny. In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus is against that devil. The blood of Jesus is against that demon. The blood of Jesus is against that spirit that is assigned to stay close by you to ensure that you never enter your destiny. You will enter a glorious destiny. Your destiny is glorious. The end of your life is beautiful. Your life is going to get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter every day. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says, Proverbs 4 and 18, the Bible says, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day. Hallelujah. It says the path of the just, the path of people who serve God, their path, their lives are like the shining light. They are like the dawn, the dawn. And it says it gets brighter and brighter and brighter as until the perfect day. Hallelujah. So don't worry if you see patches of darkness. Your your day is getting brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter. Your life is getting better and better and better and better and better and better. Hallelujah. Be encouraged. Amen. Things are going to get better. Brighter days ahead. Tell somebody, brighter days are ahead. Look at it. The Bible says there's more light coming. More light coming onto your path. There's more light. In it, look at it. It says the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more. More light. More light is coming until a perfect day. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. Amen.